Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to the Beth Wee Radio Hour, an hour dedicated to helping you find connection so you can live your best life.
Morning, everybody. I'm Beth Walsh Erickson. I'm in the studio today with my partner, Lee Kimball. How are you doing this morning, Lee?
I'm just having a blast, Beth.
As always, huh?
As always.
You live life having a blast.
If it gets any better, I don't know what I'll do.
Well, that's a good way to live. That's a good way to live for sure. Today, we're going to talk about something that might be a little tougher, but it's something that many of us experience here and there, but few of us really talk about. It's not something you want to really put out there. And by the time you're willing to talk about it because you're in so much pain,
you're drowning in it.
You're drowning in it. And that's loneliness. It seems to be a growing phenomenon. Now, loneliness might not be the word you're thinking of. Maybe you're like, not really for me, loneliness. But, you know, being apart from, stepping outside of the gang, you know, being on the outside looking in.
Or the one term that, you know, we frequently use here is separated, separation.
Yeah.
As opposed to connected or connection.
Yeah. You know, it's sometimes a lonely person doesn't know it's loneliness that they're dealing with. They feel like they can't trust anybody, you know, or they reject, you know, they feel rejected, or they feel like, they won't want me anyway.
Well, you know, there was a time in my life where when I was younger, but it's, and I didn't recognize it for what I was feeling, but there was a feeling in me like, you guys were all together, and I'm over here.
Right.
You know,
right.
Again, that separation. I didn't feel part of humanity as a whole. I just felt somehow different and separated.
Well, you know, that's the whole thing at Beth Wee. We want people to feel good. And we believe that that separation is the cause of the bad feelings, of most of the negative feelings that go on. It has to do with separation. You know, we talk about the instincts because we're friends of 12-step. And in the 12 steps, they talk about where your instincts kind of drive you, even if you never thought about it. So some of you listening are going, what is she talking about, instincts? But you think about it. If your head is underwater, you're going to fight for air because it's instinctive to breathe.
Yep.
If you're hungry, you know, it's instinctive to eat. You know, when people get to that point right before death, they don't feel the hunger anymore. That's death. That's not life. Up until that point, you're going to be fighting to find something to eat. You're going to be eating things you might never have considered food before.
<You know? laughs> Hence the Donner Party.
You know, oh my goodness, Lee. And but those are some of the things that, you know, you think about. But we have an instinctive need for community. We are instinctively wired to belong in a community. And some of us don't get that need met. And for whatever reason, we can be, you know, it's like you can be surrounded by food, but if you don't eat it, you're still hungry.
Yeah, what do they say? You can starve to death reading a cookbook.
Right. But you can be surrounded by people.
Yep.
And still be the loneliest person in the room. And just be so separated from them, like you can't allow them in. And that's a hard place to live. And yet we all get to it here and there.
I was going to say, because I've been there, and I would think that probably everybody has, at least at some time or another, had the feeling or the experience.
Yeah, it is. It's a tough one. I'll be honest with you. They say, research says, that the most common ages for, you know, severe loneliness are teenage years and then the elderly,
yeah,
you know, in our later years in life. At that point, you kind of know you need people, and your friends are dying, or leaving. Maybe you come down to Florida. We're broadcasting from Vero Beach, Florida, the top of the tropics, the beautiful paradise in which we get to call home. We're very blessed. But you know, we have a lot of friends that come down just for the winter to get out of the cold north. They come down and they live here for the winter, and then they go back in the summer. Sometimes you get to an age where you can't do that trip anymore. And you miss your friends, and it's lonely. You get lonely.
Well, folks, our regular listeners may recall that a couple of years ago, before I lost her, I had my mom on the show, and you know, and I had the experience to see, you know, Dad was gone, the friends. She was kind of the last of the Mohegans of right. her group, and you know, it's she was very clingy and dependent on me, and it wasn't until hindsight that I realized a lot of that was just because I was really the only place where she found comfortable connection.
Right. And she was lonely. She was hungry for the attention of other people.
Yep.
And just for the interaction. And it's not even the attention. It doesn't even have to be about you. Sometimes you just want to be part of it.
Yep.
You know, and it's a hard thing. It's, you know, a lot of people think that if you're lonely, you're automatically depressed. Not necessarily. They're two separate issues. Loneliness and depression are two different issues. However, it is true. Many lonely are depressed. And many depressed are lonely.
Mm-hmm.
It's an unfortunate truth, but they get treated different ways. And that's what we wanted to talk about. What can we do to, if you're a sufferer, if you know what it's like to be on the outside looking in, maybe you cause yourself to be on the outside looking in. Maybe that's just how you hold your life. You've worked it to a place where now the isolation is a little bit habitual. You just don't go out with other people. It's just not something you do. Is that good for you? Is it working for you? Are you living your best life? Are you experiencing the wonderful emotions like joy, happiness, even peace of mind? These things come when you're able to interact and be part of life.
Now, by virtue of the instincts that you referenced and our instinct for a place in society, for the social instinct, you know, we're all different creatures too. We're different people. So one person's version may be different than another. There are people that are very content in their solitude to a great extent, but not lonely.
Right.
And then you have that ugly isolation, the other end. Again, we're talking about balance, different
right.
ends of the same continuum.
Right. And it's true. You know, a lot of people think that lonely people are like stereotyped, like they're
shut-ins.
They're shy, they're withdrawn, they're not confident, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's not the case. You know, a lot of outgoing people are good at establishing relationship, but they don't have the skill to deepen a relationship or to really allow other people to see them as they really are. They might put on kind of a show, like an outside trappings, this is who I am, but they never let anybody really in, and we're hungry for that. We're hungry for real connection.
So there's a pseudo connection with their fellows, but the connection with their true self is not there.
You know, we talk a lot about dysfunction because it's you know, we laugh about it. Lee and I, when we started this ministry, Beth, we laughed when we looked up some of the percentages and we were looking mm-hmm. but it's how many people are from a dysfunctional home? I hate to tell you, if you're born and raised in the United States,
raise your hand.
I mean, yeah, 90 to 95%, and that was like a study done at Yale. It was at a leading school,
reputable.
90 to 95% of people are from a dysfunctional home. So what does that tell us? Just tells us that it's more common as we've progressed in this world, and homes are different. Both mom and dad are out working, or maybe there's only a mom or only a dad. You know, there's more broken homes. It's changed.
And dysfunction wears many different hats.
And it surely does. But, you know, emotional inavailability is a form of dysfunction. And some of us learned that in our little homes and where we grew up. And that's what we got from the dysfunctional home, is we learned to just not be emotionally available. Maybe we wanted to make everything seem okay, so we just didn't tell when we were being bullied in school or when we were, you know, feeling stupid in class or we got through it, but we told ourselves mistruths about ourselves, like, I'm stupid. No, you're not stupid. Maybe math just wasn't your forte. You know, there's a lot of really brilliant people, and maybe math wasn't what they did well, but they really excelled in other areas. Finding your niche, when you're settling for or hiding things, you don't find your niche. And I'll tell you what, you can grow up to find places in time where you feel out of the loop. Have you ever been out of the loop? If you're listening today, we're talking to you. Just being out of the loop.
It's being out of that sense of community that brings wholeness and health. That's what we're talking about today. And we have a lot of great ideas on how you can get through that if you're struggling with that or if you fall into it. Sometimes we have times when people go through, people that we love the most, we can't talk to them. I had one of those today. I was hoping to talk to somebody really close to me today. I didn't get the phone call that I was expecting. And you know what? It's not a reflection on me. I was ready, willing, and able, and I even tried to reach out.
Mm-hmm.
But the other person isn't there. And sometimes that's how it is, and we have to allow that because that's what it means to be in relationship. It's a give and a take. I remember my father used to always say, when people were getting married, he'd say, "You'll hear that marriage is 50-50. Yep. That's a misnomer. It's 100-100.
I was just thinking that.
And that was my dad's claim to fame. Well, we're talking about, what are you going to do? Negative automatic thinking often accompanies loneliness. We don't want you to have that. We want you to live your best life. So stay tuned today, and let's talk about some of the things we can do to hook back up. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to the Beth Wee Radio Hour. Don't forget to check in at www.bethwee.com for more insights and information on how to connect in this big, crazy world. www.bethwee.com gives you dates of upcoming seminars, video teachings for those seeking recovery, tools for finding peace of mind, and Beth's blog, Thoughts to Challenge Your Complacent Thinking. Next time you're online, check out www.bethwee.com. Look for us on Facebook as well. We want you to live your priorities.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Beth Walsh Erickson in the studio with Lee Kimball. And we're talking about some things that are, you know, sometimes things that people don't want to talk about, but that are helpful to people.
Or things people don't recognize.
Yeah. You know, I have a doctor's appointment today, and I don't know why. Isn't that funny? I don't know.
It may be funny, but it's just so Beth.
I know. It's like middle age has hit me.
But you'll show up and find out.
I'll show up, and I'll be there, and I'll do what the doctor says.
Oh, my
goodness. But I think maybe it's, I thought I got the results of my blood work. I have blood work regularly. I go to a guy who's really big on prevention. And so he monitors your blood work, and he helps you move and keep moving in a positive direction. But, you know, this sounds kind of crazy that I brought it up, but high blood pressure is linked to loneliness.
Really?
Isn't that something? Your blood pressure goes up when you're lonely, when you're without interaction with other people. And also, decreased immune function is also linked to loneliness. So if you're having trouble fighting that flu that's going around,
hook up.
that's the deal.
As long as you're not contagious.
Yeah, I mean, well, get connected with some other people. You know, but we were talking a little bit before the break, Lee, about dysfunction and family dysfunction. And we were laughing about the numbers. You know, 90 to 95% of people are from a dysfunctional home. And, you know, in one study that I was reading on loneliness, they said that it often starts before puberty. Loneliness as a place that people go. And that's because these early breaks kind of teach us that the world's not safe. And maybe you can't really trust people. Those, when you're a kid, you log that kind of information, but you don't necessarily share it. And it's not always true information, but you're relying on it as if it's the gospel truth.
And you carry it forward.
And you carry it forward. And these people shut others out to protect themselves. And eventually, as they get older, they develop chronic feelings of loneliness. And when it's chronic, it's really bad. There's probably not a lot of you listening, but some of you might be listening, and you're really isolated. You've really shut other people out, and you don't want us to get in. And you're sitting there thinking, I need to turn this radio station off right now, because she's talking about me. Please just stay with us today. Bear with us. Just listen. Just that little attempt to listen. And it'll make all the difference in the world. And for others of you, you're saying, oh, I'm not lonely that often, but I do get there every once in a while. Some of us miss our kids, or some of us miss
an old friend or some of us forget. There's forgetfulness too. Like, just like I'm saying, I'm going to the doctor and I don't know why. It just wasn't important to me, so I didn't log the information. And that's unfortunate. But the reality is, other people forget things too. I had a contact with an old friend who was upset that I didn't respond to something. She had left me a message on my phone about good news that she had about her health. And as soon as I heard the message, I called her. And I said, oh my gosh, that's great news. And we talked about it. We talked about even like kind of that it was kind of miraculous, that it was like the before and after was like, oh my gosh, this is really beautiful and something to be grateful for and to really celebrate. And but she forgot that phone call, I guess, because she texted me or emailed me and said, you know, what's up with this? I guess I'm not important. I told you this and you didn't respond. And I was like, oh, well, we had the phone call. But you know what? She was under heavy stress.
Yeah.
And stress is good and bad. It's not, stress isn't always bad. People think that bad news is the only things that stress you out. Good news is stress too. Getting married, ask anybody in their wedding week. Are you under stress? Oh, yeah. They're under stress. You know, it's big, exciting, fun, wonderful time of life. Or waiting to have a baby. Oh, yeah, that's a little bit stressful, you know, or knowing the baby's coming. You're on your way to the hospital. Is that stress?
Because it's a lot. It's more than your baseline.
Right. And that's the deal, you know. When you're under stress sometimes, you don't remember things, or you don't connect. You don't reach out. You forget those things. Or if you do it, it's kind of like you're in a blackout almost from it, from the stress, if the stress is severe. So, you know, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about loneliness. It's different from person to person. Generally, if somebody's needs for social interaction aren't met, the person's going to feel loneliness. Other people might not. They might just feel like, I got to do this myself.
Now you're reminding me of our discussion recently about the survivors.
Yeah, because you know what? I had to learn that myself. I grew up in a family with a lot of kids, and, you know, there was a lot of help available, but everybody was kind of on their own, too. Because you can't have as much parental interaction when there's so many to spread it out among.
Only so much to go around.
Right, and I was taught early that self-sufficiency is a wonderful quality to have and that it will take you far in life. But as I have gotten older, I realize that, you know, self-sufficiency can be a character defect for me as well.
But at some point you had to take that lifelong belief out and take a look at it and see if it still applied, if it was still accurate for
right.
you.
Right. Is it still your truth, Beth? Is it still what you think is right? Is it what's going to get you where you need to be?
Because just because something always was doesn't mean it necessarily always will be.
Mm-hmm. I like that, my little story about the princess. And the princess
and the pea?
Yeah, the princess and the
Oh, the dragon. Dragon. Yes, the dragon.
And she,
different princess.
Yeah, different princess. And the dragon is a baby. She starts with this little dragon, a great little friend and pet. But as it grows up, it dominates. And it closes. And that's what self-sufficiency did for me. It, as I grew up, I became more and more self-sufficient, and that kept others away. And that hurt me, because when I needed help, it was hard for me to ask for help because I didn't know how to do it. I didn't have a lot of practice at it. Am I talking to you? Am I singing your song? Chances are good that I'm probably singing your song. Shane, our producer, is nodding, going, yeah, you're singing my song.
Well, sing along.
So
you're even right on cue.
There you go. So that's the deal. You know, it's different for everybody, but it's a growing phenomenon in developed and developing societies. And in the United States, and this study was done in 2005, 33% of people said that they felt lonely.
You know, and I think maybe, and you could probably elaborate more on it, but, you know, the fact that it is dominant in developed countries, you know, because it can be.
Right.
You know, in the more struggling situations, people are dependent upon and need each other just for basic survival instincts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's talk about what we're going to do with it. If you know you have it, what can you do? What are some of the things you can do?
Solution.
Yeah. So let's look at the solutions. And you know, I think that the first thing I always like to tell people is listen to how you're talking to yourself.
Ah, the self-talk.
Yeah, that inner dialogue really matters. If it's not good, change it. Don't just fall into it. Do you have a critic that lives inside you? And if you do, if the critic is always sabotaging, you know, you're hurting yourself. Listen, and some of you may have this happening and you've just never stopped to listen.
And as you've said before and as we've spoken about, you know, pay attention to the I am statements.
Right.
You know, they matter.
Yeah, they do. You know, I'm too fat.
I'm so stupid.
Yeah, I'm just not funny. I'm just not. You know, those kind of things. Those are things that take you out of truth because you're minimizing who you are. You're a beautiful, wonderful,
important
talented
piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, and talented. I don't know what your talents are, but I know you have them. I can't spend 5 minutes with somebody without figuring out what some of their talents are. But I love people, and I love to watch them, and I love to see who they are and what they're bringing to the mix. Like you said, Lee, you're an important piece of the puzzle. You know, if the puzzle has 100 pieces and one is missing,
it's incomplete.
Yeah, and it's a bummer. You finish that whole puzzle, and that one piece is missing, and you're like, oh my gosh, come on. You know, so change your messages. If you have like negative messages that you say to yourself, change them. Start affirming yourself. Start saying good things about yourself. Like, I'm doing the best I can. Even just that. Even just that. That's not a big stretch, is it? I'm doing the best I can.
I just read with a group of people I was working with that, you know, even if you tried and failed, that's an asset. That's a positive.
Right. I tried.
Yeah.
I tried. I did my best and I tried. I gave it a shot. You know, and I'll give it a shot again. And I'll try again. I'm just going to need a little downtime to recover from the burn. But I will try again. I will. I won't close myself off.
Edison didn't invent the light bulb on his first try.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
You know, Tesla, if he gave up after the first try, we wouldn't be having electricity.
Yeah.
Or whoever the, yeah, Tesla. Was that Tesla?
I think it was.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
Marconi? He was radio.
Yeah. But that's the thing. You know, we have to fight the urge to isolate because isolation is part of that I'm not worthy stuff. So the way you talk to yourself, a lot of us respond to that self-talk with isolation. We hide out. We don't go where we might be put in a place where somebody proves that thought wrong.
We buy into the lies of separation.
Yeah, and it's just not something we have to do. So, you know, you might have to put yourself out there. Is that bumming you out? Maybe it is, but I'll tell you this. Once you try it a few times, it will get easier, and it will get better, and things will change, and you will improve, and your life will change. Your life, your whole life can change. Just if you tell that inner critic to be quiet, give the inner critic some new lines, like, I am okay. I will try again. It is possible for me.
Check out the Victorious Prayer on our website. It's not a religious thing, but it's a great tool for this.
Yes, you know, it is.
Cost you nothing.
Yeah, and just give yourself a shot, because you were created for community. And your community misses you if you're not part and parcel of this. We're going to take a short break because we have to listen to the news bites. And when we come back, we're going to do our 5 on 5, 5 wonderful things to be grateful for at 11:35. We'll be right back. You stay tuned.
Even if the news bites.